Will the young people come and join me this morning? I am so glad to see everybody here this morning. It's beautiful. Are you guys enjoying the beautiful weather that we have had? So glad. I have too. I want to talk to you guys a little bit today about offering plates. You know that right before we had the children's message, you know the gold plates, the brass plates that the ushers bring around that people put money in? Do you know that they didn't always look like that? Many, many years ago, they were bags. Well, they used to be like baskets, and then they were bags because no one could see what it was you put in there. Nobody wanted to see what you put in there. And then after that, and this is actually from our church, they kind of looked like this. And this way it wasn't so hard. Was it hard reaching across some of the people to get the money? Okay, it was. Well, next time you use this, okay? All right? Then you could get it. And then if somebody's sleeping, you can bonk them on the head. There was a little of that that went on too. But anyway, they look like this, but can you guys see in there what that is in there? I mean, it's kind of yucky now, but can everybody see? What do you think that was at one time? Yes. Coconut. Well, I never even thought of that. No, what was that, Jada, at one time? Well, money did go in there, but this was actually fuzzy. Yes, what's that? What was it, buddy? What was it? Yeah, Jada. Well, no, it was... Stinky coconuts and bananas. Well, you guys are way off. We're going down a whole different path now. Okay, what was it?
I think it was like fuzzy.
You're right. It was fuzzy. It was fuzzy. And why do you think it was fuzzy? And why did it go up all around the corners? Why do you think it did? Yes. Oh, okay. It did so that nothing made a sound, because people would put their coins in there. And it's so that it wouldn't make a sound, because you didn't want anybody to hear what was going in there. And later, though, what happened is people started putting paper money. And when people started putting paper money in there, if you heard a sound, that meant people put coins in there, and people would look down on them because their offering made a sound, and that meant they didn't put paper money in there that was bigger. We can mess things up in the church just as quick as everything. Anyway, so offerings, the way people take up offerings has made a big difference kind of in the church. And people have messed it up for years. We look to see what other people are putting in there, and it's none of our business. And God cares. He doesn't care about the amount. It doesn't care about the amount. He cares about what's in our heart. And that's what I wanted to talk to you about. Because, what was it? Fuzzy, well, no, it was actually fuzzy material. Fuzzy bananas, it could have been that. Okay. Apples, it wasn't apples. I know that for sure. Yes, Jada. And it could have been fuzzy bananas, but then it would have rotted. It would have been yucky. Yes. Okay, everybody look at my face. The same was true back in Jesus' times. People used to judge people by how much they gave, which is not a way to look at a gift given to God at all. And there were many, many boxes lined up with where people would put their money. And back then, their money was coins. And they would try to make as much sound as they could putting their money in so that people would think that they were very special because they gave a lot of money. Now, do you think that that is a good way to look at an offering? No, it was not a good way to look at an offering, especially because the really, really rich people would be very, very snooty, and they would throw in very, very big amounts of money because they would think somehow, well, then people were going to think more of them. But God thought less of them. And then a woman came along, and this is actually would have been just like the coin she threw in there. Can you pass that around? Pass that around and look at that. Do you think that would make much of a sound if you threw that in? Do you think that would make much of a sound? It wouldn't, would it? And you pass this around so you guys, that would have been like the coin. that the widow threw in there. And it was all she had. And yet Jesus said, look at my faith. Jesus said that that's the offering that God would accept. Now, somebody tell me why they think that would be true. Yes, Caleb. That's because God doesn't want our money. He wants our hearts. That's a church answer, buddy. You get a holy card. Okay, that's right. Everybody look at me. Everybody look at me. Money is needed in the church to make everything go, okay? Because things cost money. But God wants your heart. And when God has your heart and your devotion, then you just automatically are generous and you give to those things of God that need money. You see, the heart comes first, okay? God wants your heart, and that's what comes first. And then everything else comes together, okay? All right, did everybody see it? No? Okay, pass it back. Pass it back. Okay, and then we'll let Bella see it. Is that the tiniest little thing you've seen? Oh, he doesn't want to see it. Here, pass it this way. Thank you. Thank you. There you go. Oh, you don't like that? Oh, I said, Bella, do you not like that? Okay. Okay, Bella prefers to be called Annabelle. Okay. All right, let's bow our heads. Everybody, let's bow our heads and pray. Okay, we're going to pray. Remember, it's not only the words we say, it's how we look. So we bow our heads and we fold our hands. Good job. No, that's okay. Let her go. Okay, sit down. Sit down, Aiden. Everybody, bow our heads and fold our hands. Because our prayers are not only what we say, but it's how we look before God. Well, Father God, we pray today and offer you our hearts. And we pray that you would help us to love you the way you want us to love you, so that everything else comes together in our lives. Because we know that you'll help us in all things. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, there's no goodie basket today, so you're going to have to go back. You know, over the years, you all have heard me talk about what a fisherman my dad was. And I remember one of the last times that I went fishing with him on the Delaware Bay, I caught a fish that I had never caught before, and that was a sea robin. And those of you who are fishermen know what a sea robin is. And Dad said to me, now hold on a minute, I'll give you a hand with that. But me being an adult and me being me, I didn't think I needed the help of my father, you know, and I reached down to take that fish off the hook myself. And Dad, of course, who knew me well, was watching me, and he said very deliberately, I wouldn't do that if I were you. Because, you see, if I had tried to take that sea robin off of my line, Dad would have been taking that sea robin off of my hand. Apparently, with a sea robin, you can't just reach down and grab those fish and take them off the hook and throw them back in the ocean. Apparently, with sea robins, there is more to it than that. You know, in our gospel lesson this morning from the Revised Common Lectionary, that's all for you, Wade, Jesus is teaching us a foundational lesson of the faith. Just before our lesson this morning, we can read how Jesus had boiled down Judaism to two commandments. Now, he had selected them from Scripture. He had put them together the same way others had put them together before him. And here now is the essence of our faith taken from Deuteronomy 6 and Leviticus 19. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. That's from Mark 2, 29 and 31. Now I want you all to take a moment and think about what Jesus had done with that statement. He had boiled down over 600 Jewish laws into just two. Now, a lot of other stuff had to be stripped away for Jesus to make what for them would have been a revolutionary statement. You know, just like us, you know, the Jews wanted to get their religion right. and they wanted a recipe. And it was like a do this and do this and then you're covered. It was safe. Follow the menu and you're good to go. Burnt offerings and sacrifices had to be performed in exactly the right way. And they had to be done exactly the same every time. The exact words had to be said. And they had to be said in just the right way for ritual purity. And that's what religion was for the Jews. So that when the liturgy was performed perfectly, the way it had always been done, without deviation, the priests and the people thought that God would be pleased. They were worshiping. I can give you a little insight into my personality. I am convinced that this is the reason I have such an aversion to formal, unchanging worship. But anyway, the Jews had piled law upon law on top of law. And they did that all to guarantee that they didn't even come close to breaking what were originally the simple laws of Moses. The prevailing thought at the time was this. If all of God's people kept all of the laws perfectly, then and only then would the Messiah come. That's how seriously they took that. Well, then the Messiah did come. And what did he do? He said, well, you know, there's more to it than that. The prophets and the psalmists had figured out that even if you did all the stuff, and even if you did it all in a perfect way, and even if you said all of the right words, and even if you did it in the same way with perfect precision every time, that still would not guarantee a pure heart. Because there is more to it than that. And over and above all of that, the prophets who had gone before Jesus, they had blown the whistle on those who in reality were using the sacrifices as a way to control the people. And the ones who obeyed the law to the letter with smug self-satisfaction, they were offering loud and public prayers to cover up what was their deceitful hearts. Pride was contaminating every possible pious act of devotion. So, more and more people were beginning to understand the ways of God. And it became plain that there was more to a right relationship with God than doing the stuff, even if that stuff was done right, because there is just more to it than that. Now, think about this just for a minute. If the chosen Jews couldn't come up with pure worship that pleased God, how in the world are you and I going to manage it? How in the world do we know that we are right with God? How do we claim Jesus and claim being justified by grace through faith so that we don't have to keep looking over our shoulders wondering if we will make it or not? We need to know so we can live our lives with confidence. So we can live our lives with joy. And so we can be effective in serving the Lord in an evil world where we are going to experience trials and setbacks and persecution. Well, one thing we try, just like the Jews, is we make a list of things to do. We make a cookbook. We do one of these, and we do one of these, and we try to convince ourselves, well, we're just going to pick one good thing, and we're going to stick to that. And then God will have no other choice than to reward us. We try, but then the emptiness comes back and we realize there is more to it than that. You know, Barna did a survey of kids who believe in heaven. Pretty much without exception, children who want to go to heaven say they are going to get there by being good. Well, you know, we parents all want our kids to be good, so I'm sure that is the company line. But that is not the Christian line. If we are together until Jesus comes back, I want you to remember this. The one thing that we need to remember is that we do not get to heaven by being good. Because we can never be good enough. And if we could be good enough, in and of ourselves, to get to heaven,
then we wouldn't need Jesus. God wouldn't have had to send a Savior. In our lesson for this morning, Jesus is equipping us for the long haul, and he is teaching us so that our faith will be deep, and so that we can finish the race with confidence, and so that we can meet him in heaven. Because you see, here's the mystery of our faith. You don't get to heaven by being good. You are good because you are already going to heaven. You don't care for the sick and the poor to get to heaven. You care for the sick and the poor because you're already going to heaven. You don't do any good work to get to heaven. You do good work because you're already going to heaven and the Lord has laid it on your heart and you just can't help it. Jesus' teaching is simple. Keep a right relationship with God, period. All that other stuff takes care of itself. And when we keep that right relationship with God, just a natural thing happens. And the natural thing that happens is that relationship that we have with the Lord just kind of spills out and we leak. And we leak over other people and we leak in an extended way out over the people whom God loves. That's how it works. So put your mind, your heart, your soul and strength in Christ Jesus. Don't be preoccupied with your own trials and shortcomings. Keep the relationship above all things. Keep your heart and your will under the lordship of Christ, and everything comes together like a puzzle. Now that does not mean that your life will be without trial. It doesn't mean that there are not going to be times when things seem totally hopeless. And it doesn't mean that everything is always going to make sense, because that isn't real life. But the miracle of our faith is that it will come together in the end. Now, when you were little, or maybe even now, I don't know if you're a puzzle putter together-er. I don't know even what they would call somebody that puts puzzles together. I'm sure there is a really good word for it. I don't know what it is. But anyway, did you ever save back the last piece? I don't want to see a show of hands, because you all did it, and I did it too. When you'd hide the last piece, you know, you'd save that last piece when you were getting to the end so that you could be the one to put that last piece in. Now, why in the world do you think that we did that? Because it is so gratifying to snap that last piece in place, because it fits so perfectly and it's so tight. And it finishes the picture perfectly, and it's just so awesome to be able to do that. That's how your life will ultimately come together, when your priority is your relationship with Christ. And we forget that in the world in which we live. So stop asking, how are they doing? And stop asking, you know, how am I doing? Rest in the arms of a loving God. Put yourself under the lordship of Jesus Christ and become his problem. Do you know there is great freedom in that? Now think about the temple in Jerusalem. It was their busy time. It was the Passover season. It was crowded. There were even extra Roman soldiers on duty because of all of the people that were in town. Along the wall, there were 13 offering chests. On top were trumpet-shaped brass cones, like they were taking them away from people that were hard of hearing. They were on top. Jesus sat back to see what was happening. The rich and the powerful, they threw their money into the cones, and they wanted to make a big sound. They wanted everybody to hear how much money they were throwing in there. Look at me, look at me, look at me, everybody look at me. I am making the biggest sound. I'm throwing in the much money. Aren't I cool? I am so cool. Jesus rejected their offering. And then came the widow. Two of these tiny little coins didn't make a sound. Two small coins Nobody even noticed. But that was the offering that the Lord accepted. That was the offering that Jesus wanted. And you want to know the reason? Because there is more to it than money. Because it wasn't the portion, it was the proportion. Her gift was her whole life. You know, in our schools, we all know that our teachers are not perfect, right? We all know that our teachers are not perfect. But you know, there are just some teachers in the school system that are just so well loved. And I'm sure when I said that, you thought of somebody. And it isn't because they can somehow teach your children all there is to know about a particular subject. That's not the reason they are well loved. They are well loved because they have the right relationship with your children. Ask any parent. We can overlook a lot of imperfection in a teacher if they have a personal devotion to the good of our children. The relationship is the most important thing. And that same case can be made for doctors or for roommates or for parents and children and even for pastors. None of us is perfect. None of us are going to get it right. But if the bond is sincere, if the love is true, if the heart is in the right place, much can be forgiven. The core truth in the Bible is that righteousness is not perfect behavior or ritual purity or how often you come to church or even the words you say when you get here. It is the putting first in our lives the Lordship of Jesus Christ so that we are in a right relationship to God. Because righteousness is having no other loyalties before Him. It's the first commandment. Have no other gods before God. Whether it be money, or whether it be personal appearance, or whether it be special treatment, or influence, or a career, we are not to accept substitute gods. Not rigid laws, not liturgy, not sacrifices, not prideful personal piety. We are to keep a right relationship with God by submitting our lives to the Lordship of Jesus alone. Now, Jesus knew that that right relationship takes on a life of its own. When we have that right relationship, it takes on a life of its own. Jesus living in our hearts produces its own fruit. When we have a right relationship with God, we have no choice but to do good. We can't even not do good if we try. If we have a right relationship with God, we can't stay away from church. We just gotta be there. Because it is the reward for a week-long trek through garbage. The force then of the Holy Spirit moves us out from this place into the world. A right relationship with God is reflected in every other relationship that we have. The great truth and gift of our scripture lesson today, and I will hear a great sigh of relief, is that perfection is not an essential part of our faith. Amen. Yeah, amen. It is not how good you look. It's not how good you are at doing the stuff. Do you know that religion can become its own idol? Think about this. Religion is man trying to reach God. True Christianity is God reaching to man. In Jesus' day and in our day, there are many, many people who need to be delivered from a religious spirit. The ones who just want to go through the stuff because it makes them feel good. And a religious spirit will battle